So we combine two sessions and basically yammering on about the open source for a while. More contributions, more libraries, especially server libraries.
Basically, what ends up happening is you kind of like.
I don't know. Really
okay, so
drive up.
Introduce myself and so then so now I'm from the top of your data. I'm in the team developing a core of data libraries for various platforms. Various teams started to download and their Jane library, which is also the code, and did their own modifications on that library, but project needs.
That means you
but at the end of the day, they didn't contribute.
Can you speak up louder so that
at the end of the day they didn't contribute their changes back to that code project. And since we are more or less a separate team within SAP caring about these data libraries, we said we have also to do something here to collect those kind of contributions and bring it back to the open source world. So that's more or less the story behind. I could talk a little bit about our experiences we have made with these open source contributions, but I would be also interested if someone of you also thinks about open source contributions or is still doing such contributions and what are the experiences there to also have, as we had also in the session yesterday, let's say IBM's maybe totally independent from Microsoft implementations with WCF data services and so on. Really proof that we have that we also have a specification outside which can be implemented in other stacks as well. So that's my interest in this session. Maybe I start with just sharing some experiences we had now with this open source contribution. We started last year, let's say November, look into this from our team. First of all, we approached the main contributor of ODATA for today, that's Charles Berg, and it was pretty easy to get contribution rights to this project, since not that many people are working on the project. And what we now did in the first run are two things, more infrastructure topic things, to also integrate this this library into our old platforms within SAP. So one was to enable that library for OSGI support. So that was one requirement we implemented. The second one was that this data for Jay library is really coupled with Jersey. And here we did an abstraction, so to say, to also enable CXF. Which implements this REST, CHUXRS REST standard, to also have here fit to our infrastructure needs within SAP. So having completed this, this library from an OData point of view is still in a, let's say, early phase. So what we are doing now is it's still in a 0.6 version right now, and now we are starting to implement a reference scenario on the OData for J library. The same scenario we basically have implemented on top of our other library to really now find out what features are missing in the library, to track those missing features as issues within this Data4J project, and then trying to prioritize what are our needs within SAP, what we should implement from such features, but also counting on the other side, on the community, so that also the community engages and implements these features we have listed as issues in the study.
So, to broaden the conversation a little bit, talk about some of the other things that are going on. So, I'm at Microsoft. Microsoft has done a number of implementations other than the .NET one. Several of those are a shared source, PHP and Objective-C and a lot of those that we created or we got a vendor to create for us and did shared source through our interop group. And then there's also one of those now, the Objective-C one, we've transitioned from shared source to actually open source for regular contribution models. Most of those remain still fairly Microsoft dominated. We're not getting a lot of pickup from other people contributing to those. The iOS one, I've gotten a couple, two or three pull requests, which is good, but I'd like more.
Is it due to lack of advertising, or is it due to...
Some of it is due to lack of advertising. Some of it is due to lack of time on my part, not making it a viral thing, because spending time doing other things. Some of it is due to, there isn't another big enterprise that's involved with that. And so we're trying to, the development is done by either some Microsoft people or general breadth developers and garage developers. There doesn't, home hobbyists, which you can build a community that way. But it's less likely to meet the needs of the four enterprise companies that actually want to do something. So I'm looking around the room, we are people who hire programmers to do some of this work, and we're already paying them to do some of this work on some of these platforms. So my desire is more just to organize these sets of people first, and at least get the platforms that we care about, that we are already writing for us to collaborate and share that. And then we can build communities and get those garage developers and other people on board with those as well. But I think our best bet is to, for a lot of those, get the core development that's already happening there to just be in a more unified, shared way. I don't know how to accomplish that.
And it sounds like within Microsoft, you're getting a fairly wider distribution than outside. For instance, you do have SharePoint running it, other services running it. But that knowledge is just not known.
What if you want to point to something?
I think that's an issue that you got to overcome also. You've got this protocol, you've got the services, but you don't have,
you have some sense of
knowledge spreading that that's there that people want to take up that ability and what it means to them.
Tells you which you can go to on some other side.
I agree. There's not much developer pool because we haven't told all the developers that
you can use SharePoint this way.
I was just saying one point of this that there are not enough libraries which are really not only a client library in order which I can use to code, but also, for example, if I look at Kendo UI, which is all data binding, and this is extremely poor. There is no write support, and it's probably only experimental.
So it's really just metadata.
But if you have something out there, where you can easily be much more productive building your applications, be it mobile or HTML5 or whatever, then I think the attraction of the data libraries and the contribution will then increase dramatically.
So it's not really what you want to do, I don't think.
I agree with that. The question is, who's going to write those?
Have you posted the need for any of these things, like on your data.org or any other blog that can say, hey, these are the type of things we could use to help facilitate?
That's a good idea. We've mentioned occasionally on the mailing list or some of those, they'd be good to have some of these things. But as I'm hearing around the room, there are a lot of people, even in this room, who aren't on the mailing list but do read the blog. So we should probably
post more of those that are in the sense. And I know that we have links, like from the library's page on OData, we've got links to existing libraries, but we don't have yet clearly visible. Here's the gap. Please fill it.
So I think what you're saying is you could, that you, you know, respond to a request. You could
say, so is anyone already engaged in such open source
contributions? Is there a formal way of data?
I'm an infrequent contributor to the data project for I've seen the Metamino score about 0.6 release. It's quite interesting because when I got onto the project, it was because I wanted to learn Java. And this was one of the ways I did it. I was writing unit tests for the data project and fixing some bugs in there. It's very easy to lose traction there and then lose focus because I did that for 2 months and then I started working on the PHP client library, and then released the server and then I started looking for Ruby stuff. What I want is an opinion about how much of this, even if we start creating open source project, how much Microsoft involvement do you want? Because one of the things that stops me from making more contributions to the OData for the project is, even though I have inside knowledge of where the OData VG protocol is going, I don't want to change the people running it already have strong opinions about how they want to run it, and that's what we want from it. Open sourcing it is not just about getting contributions towards code, it's because we want different ways of thinking also guiding the project.
Yeah.
And I've been able to take some stuff that I did on OData for J and apply back to my work. Back and forth. It works that way for us. So I want to understand how much Microsoft involvement do you want in this? Is it just guidance? Or do you want actually code contributions towards these libraries?
Yes, the answer would be yes.
So is it ARB then, I guess?
I think it depends on the level of abstraction which you build on top of those libraries. Like we did the client for in the JavaScript for OData, and we provide the basic like serialization, deserialization, and all that stuff. And I think up to that point, people are like, you understand and pass the metadata, you make sense of at that level. On top of that, whether you integrate with HTML5 like local storage in the browser or you do some special caching and do all that stuff, that is where Microsoft should not go because there are other projects which are being run. Whether you want to integrate with jQuery UI for the binding or you want to integrate with Dojo or something else, that's where it becomes tricky in terms of you have to take a bet on a certain technology within that domain. But for the basic stuff, like most of the requests we get is like, yeah, like why should I go and parse all the metadata and make sense? Like if the V3 is coming out, yeah, it better understand the vocabularies and it better understand the JSON light. Because from the contributor perspective, I don't get much out of that. Like I want that to be just available to me. So, but even at that level, it becomes tricky to go and invest and bring every client to the next protocol.
It's okay so long as
so what I'm going to do is there is a basic level that so we want open source contributions towards different architectures that are built on building blocks and there needs to be building blocks that are stable that you can use. Metadata parsing or Atom and JSON parsing is just a building block and people building abstractions right on top of it are additional stuff and that's what we want to do.
And it's not exactly the same as the
enterprise. I don't know how to feel about that. Today we have, I think the OData4j is probably the most mature library offering that is there outside of the open source community. You could argue that the PHP 1 and PHP is also at the same level. I don't have first hand interaction, so I don't know.
It's a Microsoft project.
It's a Microsoft file.
It still has some significant gaps compared to OData4j.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
It's got a couple of really good killer features, like generate a OData service off of a database, a MySQL database. It's a great killer feature, but it's got some gaps. And it doesn't have.
Even that kind of brings up a weird issue that comes up when you're really trying to put an OData head on a database. The thing Arlen's talking about is this code that crawls a MySQL database and creates a bunch of classes to provide an OData feed for that database. But there are many CMSs we've found that have data structures that the last thing you'd want to do is expose those particular data structures. The data structure is designed to allow some flexibility on the back end by not really being fully normalized and not really a classic data structure. Like WordPress, for example, when I started looking at WordPress data structure, as a longtime WordPress user, I was very surprised at how the data was structured. So there, in that case, we actually, I'm on the interop team that Harley mentioned, we actually worked with a vendor to create a little WordPress OData provider that doesn't take advantage of the MySQL OData producer library that we worked with some other guys to create. So there's an example where at first glance WordPress is based on MySQL. Oh, here's a MySQL OData library. This must be the thing to use. And actually, that's not what you want to use at all. So that, unfortunately, I think increases the number of such projects that need to exist over time.
But the idea of posting what you have done in these source files or what needs to be done might be a good idea to get somebody to want to be able to help do it. Like if I knew that you didn't implement functions, it might be something that I might be interested in doing just on my own thing at home. Just do things like that.
Yeah. So that's often done on each project specific set. Should there be some central on OData where we say, well, this library supports actions, this library does not support actions, etc.? Or should we leave that up to the individual projects?
Good question. We either distribute or
decentralize. And again, putting that up there, is that an endorsement of the quality?
Is it what?
Is it just distribution of that information, or is it an endorsement of what quality of the system?
Yeah.
If you say there's this library, but it doesn't support this, this, and this, and it's only supports this version, you kind of put a stamp on that library creator already. That's like, don't use it because it's kind of not up to date. Right? Do we want to give that message from OData.org?
They do stuff like that all the time. Then you get people in, here's what code to do it. Then people manage it in and work that code in. If you don't state it, then you could be falsifying what you're representing. I'd rather have the truth and be able to update the truth versus be surprised later on that, oh, it doesn't do that? Damn, now I got to go find something else because I don't have time to, whereas in the beginning I might have had time.
But to think about it, centralizing or not centralizing, it seems like most of these open source projects are posted on some kind of website or repository, Codeplex, whatever. And they have the infrastructure there to do better tracking of issues and documentation and stuff like that. So if you want to centralize that, I don't know if you were going there, but just saying that.
I don't care about centralization or decentralization. To me, if you centralize, manage, and decentralize the code, I mean, it's a nightmare. To me, it's however the management wants to deal with the code, or deal with the whole set of projects. You're going to have more than one.
We could, for example, say we give the creators of open source libraries the possibility to post on the odata.org blog if they specifically want contributions, and they make a post and say, if you want to contribute to our library, go there off odata.org. But we give them a place to vocalize that intent on the data below.
Maybe even a space just to talk about status.
But I want my metadata.
You know, because I don't think it's very visible right now. Just having that push platform to.
We've been having a lot of conversations internally the last 2 or 3 weeks of the libraries page on odata.org and how to make that actually be useful. I mean, it provides some value right now, but what that should really be like. Right now we're still tossing around a whole bunch of ideas, and so I'm not going to present something and ask for feedback. It's more, I'm listening to everything that people want on that and seeing if, is this something that we can solve on the library's page? Is that something we can solve on the library's page? if there's types of information that should be on there, or if you have an idea for information presentation, the way that people should be interacting with it, and who should be updating it, and how easily, and that sort of stuff. I want to hear it.
We're looking specifically at improving the library's experience on the odata.org website, so if you have any feedback about that, saying like, this is something I'm missing there, or this is something which is not clear enough for me, please give that feedback.
Yeah, and one of the things I like about pages is an easy download page. Some place where I can get the source and find there is pretty easy. Second, you know, synopsis of what's there, maybe pointers to what it does and what it's missing. And then, like the project page, where you can do your updates, or you can actually sign up to be a developer if you want to, where you do the submits and commits, but they don't actually go to the code base until the manager says, okay, let's bring it in, which is a typical way of what open source works. But the ease of getting the first version is usually how easy am I to want to use it.
Yeah, so it's sounding to me like a couple of things that got mentioned here that I think could or should be addressed on the libraries page. Talking about the libraries, talk to the libraries that want to exist and don't, so that people can see where those holes are and offer to fill them. Talking about the features that are and are not supported on the libraries in some rolled up fashion, not everything, but this one supports V2 and actions and functions. No, something like that. And then, other than that, a couple of different deep links into the project's existing stuff. A deep link into their documentation, their downloads, their main project, join the project page, a couple of those sorts of things.
The roadmap. Yeah. That I usually find in some properties in here. That there's always easy access to the standard definitions.
Just kind of skip over that.
Because if I go deep into a page and I download something, I might want to also get the standard along with it. Now I have to go find
the first,
So from that same libraries page, easy way to get to protocol docs and that sort of stuff.
The documents are referred to.
Something else we discussed is we have this, for instance, what I have, my personal feeling is that some libraries on the libraries page are more promoted or more interesting or more used than others. Should we, I don't know, have a visual way of representing what we think is heavily used and what is less used and what is heavily up to date and what is less heavily up to date? Or should we just have everybody keep it a table or whatever, keep it visually similar for every single one, no matter if it's a one that gets frequent content usage or if it's one that's a year old and never got updated.
Yeah, which do we value more?
Do we validate that more, or do we want to communicate that out?
I like to see, personally, being with everybody, I like to see, last presentation. When was it before? And I would say the number of contributions in this one, but it's more like, is this still active?
This is kind of
if I see a library that's a year old and has not been, like 2 years old or whatever, has not been contributed to this, I'll be less willing to look at it.
Yes, but is that
the little hollow spark lines?
But is that also not a step that you put in place for your level of commitment or how easy you would be willing to contribute that to that project is suddenly higher because you think it will be a bigger mess once you start to contribute to it?
This is just one possible time.
It's the description of what the library provides, and that's what's going to tell me what I want to contribute.
There's nothing in my model.
But again, we do multiple levels of filters. For me, I'm going to first look at the more recent ones. And if I find one in there that fits my need, then if I don't, then I'll move down to the less frequent. And then if I'm looking for a library, or am I looking for a tool? For instance, I think that page also has link ad.
Yeah, there's a few apps.
Yeah, and they're mixed in with libraries.
Yeah,
which is annoying too.
Yeah. It also has, I think the libraries page, the way it is right now, also has sample code and stuff like that.
I love samples.
But a sample code is not specifically related to one of the libraries. It's just sitting there next to it.
But I think well organization has it better than a single list. A single table.
We have navigation properties.
We want to show it. Sure, did you have a
URL according to our convention for navigation properties?
We have a working prototype thingy that we're sort of drafting. We know it could be a lot better, and we would love feedback about how to create it so it's better.
I mean, if it's open to the outside or if you were able to send a link out.
No, you can't access it.
We could open it, we just haven't. Do we have a server that I don't know if we have a server.
The place that it's currently hosted on cannot be open, so we should have to move everything. Actually, from the square
put it on.
Oh, you have it?
Put it on Azure.
Yeah.
We probably right now it's running off his dev box.
Yeah, it's on my personal machine in my office, so it's just.
Yeah.
And I use that for other stuff too, which cannot be open sourced.
How would you do it if it didn't have a file?
So let me just go there. Oh, we might not be able to access it from the wireless network.
Really?
So, I don't know.
But then again, it's not the best reference.
Oh, it is.
Display format.
No, but still.
Where everyone would want to look at.
Pass the laptop around. General description is what we didn't. What we changed is.
So we're trying to make it be more like a picture of the ecosystem. And it shows, so it has clusters of clients and servers and sort of by their types of things.
So we have two columns right now that says clients and server libraries. We use all the icons for the actual language because we guess if you go to that page, you already know which language you want to develop in.
So they've seen this mobile groups, this Windows Phone, Android, iOS, and then there's the libraries
for client-side stuff, and then there's the libraries for server-side stuff. And then there's some stuff in the middle, which is right now it's the tool that was talked about this morning, I think. The Data Explorer tool that lets you put in OData feeds, you mash stuff up, and the output is also an OData feed. So it's a mashup tool, so it doesn't really fit in either side, it's in the middle. So that's why we put it there. And the thing is, though, that if you choose to, for example, I want to know more about the .NET one, you get a pop-up that says, well, .NET has these specific platforms, V5, whatever you want to call it, and gives you the download links and the stuff about it. And for example, if you would click...
if you clicked JavaScript, you'd expect
JavaScript.
Four different projects there.
The one for MooTools, the one for jQuery, the one for, and you would see that specific there, right? And you could link specifically to that page.
Well, that's much better than what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, we aimed to improve, but we don't know. This is not by a designer.
And now you go and get the metadata from that.
But we're still trying to figure out what information would be up there. Who would be updating
kind of
the information?
Like spaces, like
presumably there's some way for each project's core maintainer to update the information that we're talking about their project. What we should be encouraging everyone to put up there, and all of that sort of stuff. We are strongly considering putting an OData feed for this stuff and then driving this whole thing off OData.
this whole web page right now, the backend is JSON actually. So it's everything is generated on the fly with AJAX requests on the backend. Right now it's not an OData feed it's hitting, but you could imagine that we actually expose it as
an OData. Yeah, what you could in theory do is not worry about what repository they're using, but give you a URL to say, this gives us an OData set to describe what you've got.
Yeah.
And they can use the libraries that they're building.
That's right.
What
if
the library they're building doesn't work?
We're going to have for update, we're going to expose a single action. That action, you just post a particular payload to it. Worst case, you should be able to update with curl or Fiddler.
So I have a more personal question. How many of you guys realize that we updated the navigation very recently for odata.org, the top menu and stuff like that? Okay. Did you like that change? Did you think it was better? Did you just say, oh, this is something we changed?
Or just saw it 5 minutes
ago. Okay. So,
but you noticed it.
I don't know. So
we're definitely looking at making that website better, presenting it in a more uniform way.
We'd like to start making every week or two minor improvements to that site, sort of continually improving it and updating it. And any guidance on what should be there.
What are you missing? What are you looking for if you hit OData before?
That's not buried down in three pages.
Oh, you mean the spec document?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should all be posted.
Yeah.
all the different versions, because sometimes you have to set like, what's the difference between 2 and 3? Why do I have to go between 1 and 2? You know, those types of things. I always hate it when you can't find the older version.
Well, there is, we moved the protocol documentation one from under the developers tab to just being it at the top. So now you can just go to protocol right away, but it's still not the spec, it's not the document, it's still the website, right? So we might just put the document under there. I don't know.
We also, observed that there are differences between the HTML.
Yes, there
and
are.
Yeah.
And what format do you deliver this in? Just HTML? Because a lot of times I don't have access to a web website like that on a PDF or something of that sort, or just text file, like an RFC text file.
Yeah. Right now the main spec is in Word. Which is an interesting choice for a public format.
Is it DOC or DOC?
Oh, it's a PDF there. You're right, it is a PDF there.
Yeah. Well, okay,
so it is. So yeah, so it works.
It's also easy to fix.
It's easy to fix. It's one of those. There are a number of things on the site that are just a little annoying and easy to fix, but aren't fixed.
And some of the stuff we find obvious, like, oh, we need to fix this. But some of the stuff is like, oh, people are very vocal about it and they want to change it. We don't have any opinion about why not to change it.
So yeah, we should probably put that PDF.
Just put it on the top of the.
I put the different versions up in the table. Yeah,
version one and two?
And three.
Well, three is not. Can't do that.
Three proposed.
Yeah, three proposed.
But if you want people to develop to three, then you're going to want to get it out there as soon as you can.
Right, yeah.
Even if it's in a proposed format.
Right,
that's where I was going to expand.
People allow
you may want to need navigation properties in cases where what you're pointing at really is.
But then the question is also for T, for example, or whatever comes after that, how do you want to take contributions to that? Because if you submit, like, for the final version for T2, it's a PDF, right? And we put that up there, and that's the thing you need to reference if you're developing something. But what if you want to, generally we're using the mailing list sometimes, if you,
for feedback
on the spec and on stuff like that. Do you want to keep doing it that way? Is that
that's up to you guys. You can set up a blog for it, or you can set up a feedback mechanism for email, or you can even if you use like Word, if you're still using Word in this process, you've got the feedback mechanism in Word itself.
Yeah.
Where you turn on tracking, you want to sit there and go, these are all my comments, and you send back the document.
So there's a couple of things that I need to keep track of when we're doing this. We don't actually much care how the information comes into us. And we're happy with, if it's a GitHub repository and people are sending us pull requests, great. If it's a Word doc and they're mailing us updated change tracking, great. If it's comments on the mailing list, just off the cuff an email, wonderful. But there are a couple of criteria that we care about. One, it has to be in some form that people will actually use. So we care more, the medium is more important to the sender of the information than the receiver. So we need to choose the right ones that the senders want. And the other is IP can get very sticky with contributions, so we need to make sure that whatever medium we use is covered in some way so that your contributions, patent rights and copyright rights and the like are shared in a globally usable form and we don't end up with a portion of the protocol that can't be implemented due to IP concern.
And then what I would do is publish it under the GPL.
Currently we're doing
MIT, the Microsoft one.
So there's OpenSpec Promise for all the previous stuff. The work that we're doing towards the new human readable spec, we're asking people to do the Open Web Foundation contributor license agreement, which does just a worldwide patent grant to anyone who all.
But what you said doesn't make sense to me. How? What would you expect? I mean, each one of us as the contributor won't be able to show up with our own legal framework into your infrastructure. I mean, this is something that that you as the Microsoft that facilitate this whole thing should show up with a framework, and we should either accept it or not.
Exactly. So I'm saying that you as the senders control the medium. I want to give you the right medium to communicate. the legal framework, we're going to go ahead and pick one. And
Okay, so that makes sense. I thought it was trying to kind of turn it back to us and show our, each one of us to show up with our own
that would be
a nightmare. So.
Yeah, that would be a nightmare. But we do need anyone who's going to make a contribution to sign such an agreement to cover their contribution. I wish. I've talked to the lawyers on that one.
You have to turn up in person.
Huh?
Yeah, have to turn up in person.
Yeah, and advertise.
By the way, if you haven't signed your NDA for this,
really encourage you to.
Yeah, but yeah, if you want to be a contributor and can sign legal agreements while you're here, that's convenient, and I can print some out. And otherwise, then, yeah, we usually
I'm pretty sure that Citrix already has a full set of rules with Microsoft already. It's just a matter of...
It's not your company which is a contributor sometimes, right?
No, you I would be doing it as a company.
Right, he'd be doing it as a company.
Oh, yeah.
But, so there's a couple of different contributions that's going on. Stuff that he did on the mailing list, anyone who signs up on the mailing list signs an agreement, that allows us to incorporate that into an OSP release. And so basically you sign over a set of rights accrue to Microsoft that Microsoft re-releases. And I'm not going to go into the details on that set of rights because off the top of my head I'll get them all. it's a set of rights that allows us to re-release it. For the OWF one and the new stuff that we're doing, instead of you signing over some set of rights to Microsoft, you grant them to the world. Which is what we do with those rights after, when we re-grant them under OSP. So that's what we'd be doing during these contributions, is you'd sign such a thing and grant those rights to the world to use this for the
program. Yeah, so I think we captured that.
Open source. Yeah, we've wandered afield.
Yeah. Well, one of the initial questions, which was when we started the topic, was we want more certain libraries and more contribution to certain libraries. So my question is, we might have a few on this. Which certain libraries are we missing, or do you feel like there's a big push towards that we should invest in?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Or the target is OData. So what is currently available? We said OData for trade is
that PHP is not the target. PHP is only the only currently.
Yes.
Now, although Functionport, as far as I know, are they in the meantime in the PHP server library that says port for function imports?
Not currently. I'm curious if the write functionality were prioritized, if that were done quickly, is that something you're interested in using?
Not in using, but we are interested in having it to compare.
So that's where
we have some other Lambda implementation to see how they behave to get these things into operability.
Kind of know and do
for example, our server library or our client libraries can use also PHP and also WCF and also our ABAP implementations.
The fleshing out the functionality of the PHP library is definitely something we're looking at doing. It's just resources and priorities, and is anybody actually going to use this if we do it? Those are the sorts of discussions we've had. So this is feedback at least I can bring back that.
We've got an early drop of the PHP server library, and this was very helpful for us to can look at the code and to have similarities to our use case. Because you always, if you are in a different environment, you can do a straightforward port. Yeah. So you can take a certain implementation and do a straightforward port into a different language, but then the implementation is not
perhaps I can provide
very optimal. And many things they are not possible, for example, annotations or things like this are in our environment impossible. For example, if you look at the data for J, there is the routing of the UI is done via these annotations. JAXA-S, there's annotations. And this is not possible. So therefore, the PHP library, which does explicitly this routing iteration over the segments, so this is always something which
which I think helps if you do an implementation on a different platform.
One being,
to see how this problem somebody else has solved.
It truly is open in that it may appear on an
instance. You see what I can do as well.
That's available. Okay. But it had no way to advertise.
Open source of several libraries.
So, okay, that was one.
The dot.
Over time, we're moving more and more from WCF data services into things like a data lib. OData Lib is shared source, at this point, the serialization in WCF data services
and,
is OData Lib. We've cut out all the rest of it, and we just use OData Lib. So more stuff will be going that way, and the question is there, is this a useful direction, and what in this direction is useful, and prioritize perhaps which parts we open up early. It takes effort to do each piece, right? So what are the pieces that are going to deliver the value?
Cobalt.
You know, that's the second time I've heard that in this month. The other time he was serious.
Well, there's a cobalt on there.
So the second is, we may use that for the rest of the time. The second is the case where
we never made the server sure.
The client is
client
the server.
We did the client for Mono.
Somebody else
so
does.
Mono for compiler.
Yeah, so you can look at the client also.
And then we can describe the fact. Say when rating a C++ service, for instance, through a vocabulary. And in fact,
I don't know
service may
be an extended action
function of vocabulary. Maybe. Go ask over here to see what if anything may
is that a place for
language errors.
It is. I've heard it runs in a lot of places.
So in that scenario, the client can find out.
Is there something like this that a couple of people would be interested in or could collaborate on?
And then the first case is
you writing one, or are you also writing one?
Actually,
we are
interested in the
C++.
You
want a C++ one? Okay. Definitely. Is there another, are there languages or platforms that a couple of people are targeting that even just,
I think one is also something is JavaScript server library. Maybe not the core part, but from an application point of view, that you write your application. Server logic, JavaScript.
Even like Node.js,
Node.js.
Well, we could run it on Node.
There's the IIS not in the compiles. It has Node.js. Running Node.js on IIS. Azure. That's very interesting. I haven't actually heard about anyone running a JavaScript server for a day.
Not server, but if you have extensibility, exactly, that you have your callbacks, so you can put your application logic in different languages. I think how the core is implemented, the application developer is not interested if it's C++, C++ or whatever.
So it's like a scripting server where
it's more or less.
That would be an interesting project.
Second,
the question is, from my point of view, why necessarily everything has to be written in the code of the corresponding platform? Why don't have one unique implementation and have language bindings?
This is probably more
but I don't know how easy or not easy this would be, or efficient or not.
But
if you support three languages, then you always have to maybe different releases. Yeah, then you have a whole matrix of this behaves in this way and this version then differently behaves, and you have to do each and every fix in thousands of places.
I think that makes a lot of sense, and my impression is the reason it doesn't exist yet is because no one's created it. There's no better reason.
one of the reasons that this was never in test was because just the group reason to write the source once and release it. And then modulus and compiler issues that just go recompile it on the platform.
It really does run everywhere.
And you should be able to run it. I don't even know how many people are out there who are building server libraries in C++ for such a high level programming paradigm that you data server library. You would better see C-sharp as a complicated.
That definitely doesn't mean that a name shouldn't matter.
It would be cool to see someone
else. I think we should get a point almost any day and then look at it.
Who would be interested in contributing to a C++ server library or a
contributor?
You would. Is there one that y'all would be interested in contributing to?
We've written a Java server. We started around 8 months ago, Data for Jade, and we sort of split it off into a little source area. We're using it ourselves, but I don't know how to share it.
So we try to discourage...
You could publish it as a fork of the original source.
You
could still publish it as a fork of the original source. You can do that.
It's scratch.
So if you talk about the URL, the body of the URL,
it could still be put out there as an alternative on Java.
The second implementation of Java.
Instead, the server gives you URLs. So, but I'll also say with Jason Light and our templates, we're providing a way.
I've got what I was trying to get out of the conversation. So, take it wherever you want to go.
Is there anything we didn't touch on that you thought we would have spoken about in this session?
So,
not based on what's stated as the topic, but the conversation did take a turn into community contributions to the website, and I think that might dovetail also with the idea of community contributions or community involvement with future versions in terms of
feature
selection. And I was just wondering if you guys have any plan or desire to make that more open and adopt some sort of process around that, similar to like maybe what iInstruct does or W3.
Yeah. So there's some thinking around that. So first of all, currently feature selection is highly driven, interacting with the community. There are places you can go vote up a feature or whatever, but it's all. It shows its .NET roots, which is that the way you vote for a feature in OData as a whole is you vote for it in the .NET platform.
There's a user voice. There's a user voice website for WCF Data Services next version where you can vote on features.
So I had no idea. So let me just interject one more thing.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about like what channel people are using. I suggest that there be one channel. Right now, there's at least a mailing list and a blog, and then there's Stack Overflow.
MSDN for us.
MSDN.
There's comments on blog posts for the team. There's a blog for the
org. There's also like Connect.
There's Connect with Microsoft.com.
Connect with Microsoft. There are two different blogs. There's.
We could add one.
Yeah, we could add one. Hey, part of the. We've got a problem that's mostly just a legacy communication issue where it started as a .NET library and then it went off to be a protocol and wider than that. And there hasn't been enough disentanglement and creation of a strong identity for the .NET library like you would expect of a typical open source project, because it was never an open source project. Have a community site. So I think we need to get a core identity there and have some of the things you expect of the .NET library, and then also do that much more strongly with odata.org for this community. So I hear what you're saying, and
and its composition.
Well, you are not factually true that these things are missing. You're effectively you're mythological.
They can't be found.
If they can't be found, they're missing. There are people who are voting on those, and we do pay attention to those, but it's only a subset of the people who find them. So, yeah.
If you go to the, just so you find it if you search for it later on, if you go to the team blog, WCF Data Services team blog, on the right hand side there's a whole bunch of links of where you can find that information, where we submit bugs, where you.
Yeah, but we also got that association with WCF,
yeah, it's
which a lot of people don't.
We need a stronger separation between those two, and then each of those to stand alone and be well branded as their own thing.
And there shouldn't be any feature suggestions in WCF Data Services. At least they should happen in the protocol level, right? And then there might be suggestions on what we implement of the protocol, and that's maybe something else, but it should be completely separate.
When you construct a link that crosses boundary,
and we recognize we need to do something.
They would be covered by the templates as well, as much as possible.
So when you guys be putting things across the network, going from one O data service to another O data service,
Yes. So there are a few things that are in the V3 protocol that we have no idea.
Functions, for example, like Alex said yesterday.
Generally, when we're putting something in the spec, we want to prove that it is implementable. So. We usually add it to our implementation. When we don't add it to our implementation, we implement an internal mock-up to at least, at least get a rough idea.
We actually used to have a rule that said we wouldn't put anything in the protocols that we couldn't implement.
Yeah.
Because we didn't think we were smart enough to design the protocol in isolation.
Right.
We broke that a little bit in 3.0, and I think going forward we're going to have a more stringent rule where we go back to that, but also. We're not going to ship anything that doesn't go through the whole community process and that we fully implement and make sure we understand all the issues. We always find probably 10 plus issues when we try to implement the features with the protocol. So we either just don't know how to do protocols that well or it's hard.
Yeah. End of this month, there will be a preliminary protocol draft as well as the next .NET release.
Next release is going to be very cool. We're going to beat you by 2 weeks.